Hallelujah. Well, I want to conclude the series on expect. Have you been getting anything out of this series? You know, this is the third lesson. If you're interested in the other lessons, you can go on the rhema.org and go to the archives and they'll be there. You know, we've all had great moments when something good has happened, you know. And you said, man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Yeah, it may be you got something really good at this camp meeting or at winter Bible seminar. And what we have to remember and expect is for God to do it again and again and again and again. Turn to your neighbor and say, God can do it again. You know, now let's look at what the Apostle Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I didn't pause long enough for you to even find it, did I? I'm sorry. I'll slow down, okay? Now, I want to read that from the Amplified Version, all right? And I am convinced, sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up until the time of his return, developing that good work, perfecting and bringing it to completion in you. Now here Paul says he is confident. Now in Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible, he said being confident, you know, is very strong language. Here's what Barnes said about it. It means to be fully and firmly persuaded or convinced. It is the language of a man who had no doubt on the subject. You know, in other words, Paul is expressing his expectation that what God will do for those Philippian believers. Now, there's three things I see in this that I want you to see. Number one, God will begin a good work in you. Okay? Number two, God will continue a good work in you. And number three, God will finish a good work in you. See, God wants to do these three things in our lives. Now, a guy by the name of Daniel Brown said, expectation is the key to receiving. Whether you're expecting good or bad, you're sure to receive it. Hello. But that's the truth. That's a biblical experience. Expression. It's a biblical thing. Whatever you expect is what you're going to get. You hear you're going home already. Well, I'm not getting a lot of reaction today. I guess you're tired, huh? Well, slap your neighbor and wake them up. No. All right. We must expect God to begin a work in us. Okay? Now, turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And this table is really loose on the pedestal, guys. We need a wrench on it. All right. Acts chapter 3. Everybody found Acts chapter 3? If anybody hadn't found it, raise your hand, and I'll send Brother Tad over there to help you find it, because he knows everything about the Bible there is to know, and nothing that he don't know. Okay. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or ask for money. from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Here this lame man is laying at the gate, beautiful. And if you've ever been to Israel, you'll know that that is the walled up gate right now that looks out toward, it goes across the valley there of Kidron, right across the valley and up, and it's looking up to the Mount of Olives where the Garden of Gethsemane is. Actually, that's the Temple Mount is there. That's where the temple was. And that's where, according to the Word of God, that's where the temple will be again. All right. So you have to know something about Bible prophecy on that one. And that's the gate they were coming in. Okay? And that guy, he was there all the time. It may have been that he was there because when Jesus would stay at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house out at Bethany, that's the way that they would go. In fact, in Mark 11, when you see him cursing the fig tree, they were coming from Mary and Martha's and Lazarus's house out at Bethany, up across the edge of the Mount of Olives there, across the where Bethpage, down through the valley and up through that gate. It is possible that that guy could have been laying there when Jesus went by. I don't know. It's possible it could have been, because it's the same place that Peter and John and the disciples had been. I know they've been out there many times, but this time, Peter noticed him for some reason. And Peter said, "Look on us. Look here." And the man looked up expecting something. And now he gave his attention to them. Now the other people walking by, but he gave his attention to them expecting to receive something. And maybe other people were walking by and he may have missed something, but Peter was so "Look on us," so emphatic that the man forgot about everybody else and expectantly looked to Peter and John. And then in verse 6, Peter disappointed him very greatly. He said, "I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money." Right there, that man had to make a decision of whether he continued to look expectantly on Peter and John, or take his attention from them and start trying to get some of them other people that are walking by. Hello? Because that was a busy gate. That was one of the gates that was probably used as much or more than any other gates going in Jerusalem, because it was the closest gate to the temple. And Peter said, "Look on us." Can you, when Peter says that, he's asking, can you imagine? Probably he said, "Oh, buddy, I got somebody that's going to really help me today." Right? Probably that's what he thought. And can you imagine his disappointment when Peter said, "I don't have any money, bud." But then he followed it up with, "But what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, why rise and walk." Man, because he looked expectantly to Peter and John, he got the greatest of blessings that you can, it was worth more than any money he had ever got, worth more than any money he will ever have in his life. He got to walk. Now, it doesn't tell us how old he is, but it says that he had never walked in his life, that he was crippled from the time he was born. And now he's walking. In fact, if you read the rest of the story, he went with them into the temple, and he leaped and walked up and down Solomon's porch. Everybody there knew the old man that sat by the gate begging, and here he is leaping and walking and praising God. And it just like people that are religious people, the religious people got upset because God was doing something and called Peter and John on the carpet. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, we read the story, see. God is the same God today as he was then. Jesus is the same Jesus today as he was then. So if we will look expectantly to that same God and that same Jesus, we can receive from him. He's on time doing what he's promised all the time. While we were nothing, he began something in us. He is able to take something out of nothing and make something out of it. He's able to take a nobody and make them a somebody. Glory. Even when you can't see it, if you expect him to work the promises in your life, he is working them to a good work in you, even when you can't see it. When everybody says it's all over, when everybody says, you're not going to amount to nothing, God says, I've already begun a good work in you. Forget about what they say. You ever hear that? They said. Anybody ever been able to find they yet? Well, who said it? Well, they said it. Well, who's they? Well, I don't know, just they. Have you ever noticed that we can't find they? Anybody ever had somebody say they said it, and you ask the person, well, who? They said, well, they said it. You don't know who they is. The reason you don't most of the time is because it's the enemy trying to discourage you so you will quit expecting to receive God's promises in your life. Woo. I don't know about you. I done got it happy up here talking about the expecting God to work in my life. Hallelujah. You know, the devil says it's all over. God said, no, it's not. I just got started. You know what? Don't give up hope. For as long as you have breath, God is working in you and for you. It's not too late, it's not too hard, and it's not impossible for God to work his promises for us. Okay, now, number two, see, first of all, you got to expect him to begin a work. Now you have to expect God to continue to work. Go to Psalms 138:8. Psalms 138:8. Anybody getting anything? Yes. Oh no, I'm getting excited about this. And I'm the one that put this thing together and, you know, hallelujah. Okay. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. The psalmist here is declaring that God is faithful to perfect the work in us day after day after day after day. Hallelujah. Now, God begins a work in us, and he is faithful to daily continue to work in us. If God did it once, he'd do it again. God is not just a one-time God. He's an everyday God. You know, some people get a blessing. It's just not a one-time blessing, y'all. It's an everyday blessing. But it's a one-time blessing because that's all you expect. You get what you expect from God. You see, God continually, day after day, week after week, month after month, he continually does a work in us. You know, we all come in here today, and if you're like me, your physical body's a little tired. Your mind's a little, you know, not quite there sometimes. God don't get tired. He don't ever get tired. On these kind of days is when I rely on the promises of God. The same in Romans 8, the same spirit which raised Christ from the dead will quicken my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken my mortal body. Somebody said, oh yeah, I know. No, it says mortal body. That means this physical body. That word quicken there means strengthen, raise you up, put you in a position to continue. Hello? God doesn't sleep or slumber. God doesn't have bad moods. God doesn't have bad days. God is not 9 to 5 or 8 to 4:30 or 3 to 11 or 11 to 7, whichever shift you work. I've worked them all. God doesn't take the weekend off. You call some businesses and say, the office or this business, whatever it is, such and such business, we will be closed for this weekend, this holiday weekend. Well, when you pray, you don't get an answer back from the recording machine. Well, God's on vacation this weekend. He'll be back on Monday. Call back Monday, and he'll see if he can work you in his schedule. Now, we laugh about that, but that's the way some people think about God. You know, he doesn't go on a vacation. He is always there doing a good work. He started it, and he will continue it. Here in Philippians 2:13, Paul goes on to say, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, some people say, well, God's given up on you. You ever heard somebody say that? I think God's given up on you or me. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I got one or two hands. Let me tell you, the more accurate statement in real reality, God never gives up on anybody, but a lot of people give up on God. That's where they quit expecting from God. They say, oh, I'll never give up. Yeah, you do. If you quit expecting him to do what he said in his word, you've given up on him. It's that simple. You know, people, you know, some people and even some ministers want to make the word of God hard to understand. It's a simple, God's simple. He said what he meant what he said, and he'll do what he said he'd do if you'll expect him to do it. Now, you know, I've got my bachelor's degree. I've got 30 hours of Bible and 30 hours of theology and 22 hours of Sunday school or organization or, well, you know, the children deal. You know, I got all that. I got about 18 or 20 hours in psychology and a couple of counseling courses and all that, you know, and I could get up here and I could put on my professional voice and say, now the Lord God Almighty is sovereign. And today I want to address the issue of traduceism versus dualism. And you're sitting out there saying, what in the world is he talking about? My homiletics professor said to us, he said, guys, because we didn't have any ladies in our class, he said, guys, I don't care how great your sermon is. I don't care how great an orator you are. If you don't connect with the hearts of the people with what you say from your mouth, you might as well keep your mouth shut. He used to tell me, he said, Aiken, he said, you got the worst manuscript sermon in the world. He said, you got a pretty good outline, but he said, you're one of the best in the class at your delivery. I said, well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Williams. I appreciate that. And I probably am still that way. I'm not really good at writing stuff down and putting it all together. But if I got something in front of me that I can just sort of read a little bit and look down at it every once in a while, I can do it. Everybody's different. There's nothing wrong with a good outline. There's nothing wrong with a good manuscript if you do so, you know, but that's not the way I do it. I just have a few things here that keeps me going, and so that's the way I do it. Hello? Now I woke everybody up a little bit. Now let's get back to it. Some people say, see, y'all thought I lost where I was. You know, some people say that God's given up. That more accurate statement is, no, they've given up on God. Okay? The question is not if God will extend his hand of grace. The question is, will we reach up and grab his hand of grace? God is a can-do God. And he's also a can-do-it-again God. And he is also a can-do-it-again God. And he is a can-do-it-again God. And he is a can-do-it-again God. Somebody said, well, you repeat that four times. Well, multiply that by 450,000 million, 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 and million, million, and then you figure out that he is always a can-do God. Hello? You can expect him to continually work in you, taking you from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Okay, let's get that last word. Finally, we must expect God to finish what he started. Help me remember, I started out with these three things. God will begin, God will continue, and God will finish, right? Anybody remember that? I got 14 people that raised their hand out of this whole crowd. I sure hope to goodness that there are more than 14 people getting a hold of what I'm saying this morning. Finally, we must expect God to finish what he has started. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the starter, but not the finisher. Oh, did I read that wrong? Looking unto Jesus, the author, and who, if he wants to, will finish. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the what?
Finisher.
Of our faith. Here, the writer of the Hebrews is letting us know if God started, he can finish. This says that he will continue until he finishes what he started. That means until he will continue until we cross the finish line. It also means that God's help and God is just as powerful at the end as he was in the beginning, as he was in the middle, because he's God and he changed not. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. So the start, the middle, and the end. Hello. Jesus said that the latter end, or actually, Jesus didn't say it, but it's implied several different places. Now, there's a lot of people that start stuff, but they never finish it. Now, I'm going to embarrass some people in here today, if you're honest. How many of you have started projects, but you never finished? That's probably all of us. Let me tell you a little secret. God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. Whoa! Job said in Job 8:7. Okay? Job's over in the Old Testament, if y'all want to know. Okay, let me see. They're still turning on the front row. As soon as I see all the people on the front row get it, I figure if they can get it, you ought to have it. You know, you can find it in your Bible. You can find it in your on your tablet, your iPad, your phone. All right, now we're going. Job 8:7. Though your beginning was small, yet the latter end would increase abundantly. Now here Job is saying that by the time God gets us to the finish, we have increased greatly. Now, turn over there a few books over to Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. we can expect God to finish what he started. You know, in running races, playing ball games, whatever, there are a lot of people that start good, but they don't finish. I believe it was, I don't know what Olympics it was. I believe it was the Mexico City Olympics. I don't know. It may have been another one. I don't dare. But I know there was a runner from one of the African countries that was running in the marathon. That's 26 miles. And then you come into the stadium and you do 385 yards around the track. How many of you know about that? Well, it had been hour or two since they thought the final runner had come. Most of the people had left the stands, and they were getting ready to straighten up the track and get everything ready for the next day. And they heard the sirens. And coming into the stadium was this young man from an African country. He was limping. He could hardly run. He was skint. He was bruised. Blood was running down his forehead. Blood was running down his legs from skint knees. And what the crowd that was left and the workers that were already starting, they started cheering him as he was running that last 300, stumbling and along. And he finally hit the finish line. And one of the reporters come up to him and said, "Man, everybody else that finished an hour and a half ago." And the other people just quit when they realized that they were so far behind. But you wouldn't quit. Why? You get nothing for finishing dead last. He said, "My country didn't send me 25,000 miles or whatever it is, 2,000 miles, whatever it was, to start a race. They sent me to finish a race." Let me tell you why. The end is better than the beginning. If God did it once, he can do it again. So just a little something here, little exhortation. So we must not let go of that which the hand of God has begun in our lives. Now is the time to renew your expectation so that what has been done in you is just a stepping stone to what it shall be. Hallelujah. God can do it again. God starts it. God continues it. And God finishes it. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God can do it again." Your greatest moment with God is not the last. He'll do it again. Over and over I say unto you, I will do what you expect me to do. But it's up to you to stand on my word and then to believe that you will receive and expect to receive what you believe, and you will see. You will run your race with joy and gladness, and at the end you shall shout with glee because you have finished what God has started. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. That's just a little something that come up in my heart, and I just thought I'd give it to you. Glory, 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 glory. Well, did you get anything out of the Expect series? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I never like to minister that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Christ. or an opportunity for somebody to rededicate their life to God. Or in the day and age we live in, there are a lot of people that go to church sometimes every time the door's open, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. So if that happens to be you on any one of those three invitations, could I see your hand, please? I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room. You need Christ? You need to rededicate your life? You need a no-so experience with God? Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room? Anybody? I have another invitation. We believe in the Holy Spirit here, just like Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you happen to be one that would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, let me see your hand too. I know we had a hand or two raised on the other invitation. Is there any other? Yes, hands over here, hands over here. Thank you. You can stand up. You can stand up, please. And everyone is staying. That's what I said. Now, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going right down front. I want to meet you down here. I want to shake your hand, and I want to pray for you like I said I would. So if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. Jesus is waiting. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on right now. Raise your hand. Wanted to raise your hand. Should have raised your hand. Come on. God bless you. Hey, if you don't want to come down here by yourself, ask somebody there beside of you. They'll walk down here with you. I'm going to wait another minute. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. God is going to change your life forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? Oh, here comes some more over here. They're coming right now. Glory to God. Somebody bring in somebody. Good. Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Anybody else want to come? Now's the time to come. Change you forever. You'll never be the same after today. Lord, bless you. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thanks for bringing her down. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come now. Hallelujah. Listen, I got three little books in my hand, all you that are standing here. It says, New Birth, In Him, and White Tongues. If I held them out there like that and said, I'm going to give them to you, how are you going to get them? Oh, you got them. You reached for them. Hey, all y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. I did that as a little experience, little exercise, in other words, that I can give you a book. But I can't give you the spiritual experience you come for. It comes from heaven on high. Just like he reached his hand for that book, I want you to reach one hand. Doesn't make any difference which hand. And with that hand, reach it up in the air like that. With that hand, you're saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I come down here for. Congregation, would you reach your hands toward him as I pray right now? Because every need in these lives will be met according to the word of God. They will receive every spiritual need met. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience with you, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Listen, I want you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth right now. Now, that same place that you're going this morning becomes a prayer room. It's a prayer room now, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a little classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world's Turning Point? It's just a class for a few weeks to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God. Okay, and I'd like to see you in that class next Sunday morning. Would you turn right there and say, Brother Greg, family right there, he's going to take you that place of prayer. There's others there that are going to be there to pray with. You just turn and go right now. Just turn and go right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. That's what it's all about right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, tonight at 6 o'clock right here, be here. Hallelujah. And Wednesday night, Hour of Power, be here. I'll be here at Hour of Power on Wednesday night, so come believing. Now, I got a quick final announcement. We're having on our online bookstore for Rhema, Kenneth Hagin Ministries. You go to rhema.org/store. And there is a 50% off everything for 24 hours. For that one 24-hour period only, 50% off everything. Now, it does not include anything that's already on sale. You don't get 50% off that. If it's already one of the specials that's being run, no, that don't count. But it starts at 12:01 a.m. on Monday, July 27th. And it lasts until 11:59 p.m. July the 27th. So anything that's in the online bookstore, except those stuff that's already on special, will be 50% off for that 24-hour period. Now, don't go on there at 11:59 tonight and expect to get it, because it don't start till 12:01. And don't go on there at 12:01 on Monday night, on Tuesday morning, and expect to get it, because it's over. Have you understand what I'm saying to you? Hey, that's a good deal. Hey, you can go get some of the best messages that ever preached by a fellow by the name of Kenneth W. Hagin. That's me, hey. But you can get some really, really good messages preached by a fellow by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And you can get some by Lynette Hagin and some by Craig and books and so forth. All for 50% off. That's a good deal. It's Christmas in July. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, I'm going west today. On the screen, that's where... Well, it's gone now. It was up there. There it is. That's where everybody's going to be. If you want to shake any of our hands, that's where we will be. Okay? If you want me, I'm going to be in this west. That's west, that's north, that's east, and that's south. There's four entrances to this building, and we try to rotate around to all of them. And you know, sometimes I haven't seen somebody, and they said, well, I'll go out the other door. I said, well, try to come by my door at least once so I know you're still here. Okay? All right, we sing a chorus around here to dismiss everybody. Brother Rich will tell you when you can go. God bless you. I hope you got something out of the Expect series. Be here tonight, 6 o'clock. I'll see you Wednesday night right here, too. Okay, God bless.
Yeah, sing it now. I got a mighty warrior.